I'd like to introduce myself first before I make introductions. My name is Julius Dicker. I'm the Angelcop Mayor for the awesome community of Nain. So welcome to Nain. First of all, I'd like to welcome Minister of Indigenous Affairs, Seamus O'Regan, and our MP for Labrador, Yvonne Jones, my friend, and our President for Nunsell Garvin, Johannes Slatt, Ministers Tony Anson, Minister of Land and Natural Resources, and James Lyle, Minister of Recreation, Culture, and Tourism for Nunsell Garvin. I understand that there are some announcements here to make today, and I would call upon Minister Reagan to come to the front and speak to us about that.
Thank you, Your Worship. President Lamb, all the leadership present, to my friend Yvonne. First time I landed at Nain Airstrip, I was okay. It was 20-odd years ago, and I was working for Ed Roberts. He was the Minister for Labrador and Clyde Wells' government. I came a day ahead of time, spent the night, I had to get everything ready, and I remember their plane coming over the top. It was Ed Roberts, and Bill Romke, and Clyde Wells, and Judy Foote. She was working for Clyde. And just saw the plane being thrown around by the wind, and I just thought, oh my God, what am I going to do if it crashes? And it landed, I'd say, about two-thirds of the way up the runway and kept going right to the end. And I ran after that plane thinking, who would I dive in to save first? Honest to God, I thought they were all going to go over the edge. Anyway, they were all fine. They were all cool as cucumbers. But I had never forgotten that. And when we were landing today, and it was a beautiful day to land at the airstrip, I looked at some of my team and I said, so when Yvonne and I are in Ottawa, looking for more money for the Nain Airstrip, I want you to remember this moment. And they went, yes, we'll remember this moment. But this is, it's such an extraordinary place. It's so good to be back. It's been a long time. For me to grow up in Happy Valley Goose Bay, and now to be in this position is really, and to be here, it's emotional. I especially appreciate the leadership here when I go to so many other places across the country, and I realize how hard people here have worked, I think, to promote democracy, to preserve your culture and language, as well as the lands and the animals and the plants of your territory. And you've worked hard to create a sustainable economy and a healthy society, and it really is an example for the many, many people in the rest of the country. So the Community Sheds Project, where you got young people learning woodworking and small mechanics, and they're learning from skilled people right here in Nain, and they're learning how to use tools and techniques to carve out careers for themselves and to build their own futures, their own healthy, prosperous futures. It's an outstanding program, and I really want to thank everybody who's involved in it. And I want to thank the elders who guide and mentor the young people for sharing their wisdom and skills. Because it's what's happening there is that you got collaboration going on within, but that collaboration spills out into the whole community. And it's also helping the community meet its own future infrastructure needs, because you got workers who are trained and ready right here in Nain for some of the construction that we see and the expansion that we see. Much needed. But I think what's really important is that it's boosting young people's morale and their self-esteem, and it shows them what it takes to succeed. It gives them the confidence to say, yes, I can. And indeed, you know what? They can. They can. And they need to know that. Indigenous youth are one of the fastest growing segments of the population. So if Indigenous youth succeed, then Canada succeeds. It's as simple as that. One doesn't happen without the other. So I have high hopes for a lot of these young people who are involved in the program, because I think that they're going to seize opportunities and they're going to run with them. So to help them succeed, we are providing $518,000 to the Nunatsiavut government to support community shed projects in Nain, Hopedale, and Ridley. Because we want more youth to benefit from new skills and knowledge so that they'll have a greater chance of meaningful employment and empowerment and the pride that comes from acquiring these skills and knowledge. And they've got a big legacy to take up, too. Nunatsiavut is the first self-governing Inuit region in Canada. Local control over health and education and culture and language and justice and community matters, and that's all as it should be. And you're ahead of the game. I mean, what I'm attempting to do with our department is catch up with you. Getting more local control for people. Because local people know and understand local problems, and they can find effective local solutions. So the days of Ottawa or St. John's or wherever coming in and saying this is how it will be, those days are over. That is not how we operate anymore. The way we operate is building with you from the ground up, finding solutions from the ground up. So you lead, and we'll be there with you. And I want to make sure I say this right. Nakumen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to ask my friend, MP Ron Jones, to come up and say a few words.
Thank you very much, Joe. I really appreciate it. And it's always a pleasure to be here in Nunatsiavut and to be in Maine. And it's a double pleasure today because I actually have my good friend and colleague with me, Seamus O'Regan, who's no stranger to Labrador. So I told him today it's good to welcome you back home and get your feet on the ground again and really start mixing with all of us who have missed you up here for a while. So, and I know he's been busy. We've watched him. He's been all across the country and different First Nations and Indigenous communities. And last week he was in the Eastern Arctic of Nunavut. I was in the Western Arctic of Cambridge Bay. And today we're here in Maine together, and it's great to be here. It's great to be here amongst friends and amongst people that I really feel we've had the opportunity to work with and to do really good work with over the past few years. I want to acknowledge the Anakut, the mayor of Maine, Mr. Dicker, President Lamp, Minister Lyle, and Minister Anderson. And last week, Minister Anderson and I had the opportunity to meet with our Minister of Fisheries and Oceans for Canada in St. John's on important issues regarding the fishery in Nunatsiavut. And those dialogues and discussions are important because it's from listening to you and the work that you do on the ground that gives us the direction we need to make things happen in the federal government of Canada. Seamus just announced a great project. The Sheds project is really to help develop young artists, and the skills of young artists in the community, about passing down that tradition and having the place and the ability and the tools to really hone into that profession. And our government has been one that have continued to support culture and the creative industries across Canada. And one of the aspects that we've supported and committed to has been the Canadian Media Fund. And we've taken some backlash for supporting media in Canada. But we know that in remote and many regions of Canada, without the investment of the government, we would not have the kind of broadcasting that we have today. And I'm really happy to be joined here today by the people from the Ohalahaptiki Society. And I'm pleased to announce that we will invest $404,000 for their annual television and radio broadcasting programs that they do throughout Nunatsiavut. Everyone knows that the Ohalahaptiki Society is a legend in this area. It's been incorporated and operating since 1982, and they provide communications in Inuktitut, and English to people all through the North Coast and in the Lake Melville region of Labrador. And our broadcast has become not just a source of information, but it's become a source of entertainment as well. For many families and people who live here, it's been an opportunity for Inuit to be in touch with their own culture and their own language, and to be able to listen to it in a way that they have comfort. So we're really pleased to continue to support this through the Media Fund in Canada. Also, the Government of Canada launched a program 3 years ago, and I know that Nunatsiavut has been very much involved in this, and this is the Historic Oceans Protection Plan. It has been a part of discussions at many levels of government with people across the north, and we launched the Ocean Protection Plan so that we could develop a stronger relationship with Indigenous people in Canada. And because we know that there are people in the north that have been connected to the ocean and to the land for food, for security, for transportation, and so many other things for a very long period of time. And we also know that their traditional knowledge and expertise is very important to protecting Canadian waters. So this year, as part of that program, the Government of Canada launched an Enhanced Maritime Situation Awareness Initiative. And you say, what is that all about? Well, what it's about is it's an opportunity for us to partner with Indigenous governments to create an information system that will give us knowledge of what's happening on the water. So what's happening in the ocean in the Nunatsiavut region, north of here, south of here, and better able us to communicate that information to people that are using the waterways so that they can be kept safe. I'm really happy to announce today that Nunatsiavut has been selected as one of the areas that will be will see a development of a new maritime information system. It will be tested and evaluated. It will allow all the coastal communities to really be able to get a whole range of data and information, including weather, wind, wind speeds, where vessels are located, whether the conditions are safe to be operating or not operating. And we're going to partner with the Nunatsiavut government to be able to collect this data, make it available to people in the local area, and I'm pleased to announce that we'll invest $1.3 million into making that happen in the Nunatsiavut as one of the test cases in Canada. There will be an installation of automatic towers that will be installed throughout the region. And those towers are what is going to be used to collect that information and be able to transport it back. And it's supposed to be specifically geared towards people who are operating like small boats as well as large boats, snowmobiles, search and rescue groups, anybody who uses those portable transmitters. So that data should be able to be available to all of those sectors. And the intention is to save lives and to keep people safe while they're out there on the water or on sea ice or whatever the conditions may be. So I'm really proud that we're doing this in the Nunatsiavut, and we'll be monitoring it to see how it works out and how good the data is. And if it's something that is very reliable and can help communities, then we're going to be ready to expand it into other northern regions of Canada and other regions of Labrador as well. So it's a good initiative. So let's hope we get it right on the first go around. If not, we're going to keep trying. As well, today I have an announcement that I think everybody has been waiting for a long time. Everybody talked about the airport today and coming into Nain Airport. And I always make a joke that, you know, when you get on the coastal airlines, I want to say Air Labrador, but you know, Air Borealis now, that you always know the local people from the people who are visiting, because the local people are the ones sitting back having a nap on the early morning flight or drinking their coffee, and the ones that are making their first trip are the ones hanging onto the back of the seat and their knuckles are white. But it's no joke when you're depending up on those airports as your main transportation link to the rest of the world. And that's the situation in Maine. And it has been tough in the last couple of years, because Maine, the largest community in the Nunatsiavut, is the community with the least adequate air transportation system in terms of infrastructure. I went to combined councils meetings, I sat with Mayor Dicker, I listened to him many times talk about the need for this. I sat at the round table with your President Lamp and Isabella, and I listened to them talk about how important this is for the Nunatsiavut and for the people of Maine. Last year, with some help from the Government of Canada and the good wisdom of your staff, Mr. President, meeting Isabella here today, we were able to launch the first part of looking at the Maine airport. And in doing so, I think it was an eye-opener to all of us. And the need become very relevant that this is an airport that has to be replaced, and it is an airport that we can't hold off forever in replacing, because the old infrastructure is going to start to deteriorate. So I'm very pleased today, on behalf of the Government of Canada, to announce that we will fund the next phase for the study for the new airport for Maine at a cost of $200,000 of investment by the Government of Canada. And it's a start, and we have to start.
Yeah.
And no one understands more than I do, as your member of parliament, in listening to you and coming in and out of this community, how important it is to get that airport done. So let's hope that we can put this money to good use, get the study done on the relocation, and see where we gotta go from there. One thing I can tell you is that this issue with regard to the Maine airport has captured the attention of everyone across our government, including the Prime Minister, who sat at the Inuit Roundtable and who listened to you as you spoke and talked about this issue, and he, more than anyone, wants to see us addressing this in a proper way. And so this is our first step to making that a reality. The last issue I want to talk about today is one that has been on the radar for the Nunatsiavut government since I got elected. I think the first meeting I ever sat at with the Nunatsiavut government was to talk about housing. And whether that money came from whatever source or whatever pot, it wasn't going to make a difference. The need was so great. And in fact, I think at that time you had just finished up a housing study that you went out and kind of did on your own and said, we've got to do this. We've got to see, prove to people the situation that we're dealing with as a government when it comes to housing for Inuit. And then the Government of Canada looked at Inuit housing across all of the Inuit regions and in the five regions. And the study itself was alarming, telling us that, you know, 50% of 50% of the homes in Inuit regions of Canada were overcrowded. 30% of them needed repairs that needed to be done immediately. And it was through the work of those studies and the voices of leadership, and I think one of the strongest mechanisms we had to make this happen was the Inuit Crown Partnership Table. And it was at that table that the Government of Canada really rolled up their sleeves to work with Inuit communities across the country and said, we understand, we hear where you're coming from, and we know that housing is one of your biggest issues. And I think we have been able to work very closely with all Inuit governments to address that problem bit by bit. one of the fundamental things that we changed was that we invested directly with Nunatsiavut. We didn't go through a third party, through the government of Newfoundland Labrador, or through another agency. We invested directly with Nunatsiavut because we had confidence in you to do what needed to be done, to get more out of the money that you were going to get. And we've been more than happy with the results that we've seen. So today, on behalf of the Government of Canada, I want to announce that in addition to the $2 million that we give you annually under your self-government agreement, that this year we're going to add $7.5 million more for housing in Nunatsiavut for your communities.
Okay.
What we've invested in the last 3 years since 2016 is a total of $39.5 million of federal investment in partnership with the Nunatsiavut government. That was a step in the right direction. That has proved results for many families in Northern Labrador and in Nunatsiavut communities. That's the kind of partnership we want to continue with, and we have full confidence in you and in Torgat Housing, your housing contracting company, to do the job that needs to be done to meet the needs of families in this region. So congratulations, and I look forward to working with you on many more initiatives to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you, MP Jones. I guess with that, that's the reason why we're here, to hear good news from the federal government, and also to give you thanks for your good announcements.